It's lovely to be with you again this evening for the preaching of the gospel. It's also lovely to be standing on the platform and have such an excellent view of all of the audience, including a couple of members who are sitting on the back row. And we can see absolutely everything here, can't we, from the platform, and I'm sure they'll be on their best behaviour. I'd like to read a book from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and so it's on the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. And we're just going to read one verse. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 20. Sorry, verse 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Read that again. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, not only is that a very well-known verse this evening, but if you were to read the verses before it, verse 1 through to 9, you'll read in those verses a very well-known story. Now, we're not going to really speak about that story tonight, other than just to make a couple of points in connection with the verse that we've read. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you were to read the previous verses, you would read the lovely story of a little man called Zacchaeus. And you remember there, Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus is a lovely story, because there was a man and he wanted to see the Saviour. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but you remember that he was small of stature and he was very unpopular as well. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus was so keen to see the Lord Jesus that he ran and he climbed up into the sycamore tree so that he might see the Saviour. He was just desperate to set his eyes upon Jesus. But you know, it's a lovely story, because not only do we read about Zacchaeus, who was anxious to see the Saviour, but you know, we find that the Lord Jesus was passing by, and we find that the Lord Jesus, he stopped at the very tree that Zacchaeus was in. And he looked up into the tree and he said to Zacchaeus, "Now Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm coming to your house for tea," in the words of the chorus. And the Lord Jesus, not only was Zacchaeus interested in the Lord Jesus, but you know, it's lovely to notice that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that the Lord of glory, that he was interested in this man Zacchaeus. Despite his background, despite his unpopularity, despite all of the wrong things that Zacchaeus had done, here was someone that the Lord Jesus was interested in. And that's the background to our verse this evening. Let's read it again. The Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you think about Zacchaeus. There was a man who was lost. And not only was he seeking a Saviour, but the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking him. You know, the message of the gospel is just the same tonight. It hasn't changed. There's a seeking Saviour. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came from the glory of heaven. And he died at the cross of Calvary. And the purpose for him dying at the cross of Calvary was so that men and women and boys and girls might have their sins forgiven. He came to seek and to save from sin, so that our sins could be forgiven, to save from judgment, so that we don't need to be judged for our sins, and to take us to be with himself in heaven, the seeking Saviour. But you know, this evening, there is a seeking Saviour, and there's a Saviour who is now in heaven, and he longs to hear the cry of the sinner. You see, in the story of Zacchaeus, there was a seeking Saviour, but there was a seeking sinner too. And the verse says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know, can I just say to you kindly this evening, you're never ever going to be saved until you know that you're lost. You're never going to be saved until you realise that you need to be saved. That might sound like a silly thing to say this evening, but until you realise that you're lost, and until you realise that you're a sinner, until you realise that you need God's salvation, there's not one of us can ever be saved. Because we've got to come to the Lord Jesus and confess our sin. Confess that we're lost. Confess that we need his salvation. And praise God, if there's a seeking sinner, there's a seeking Saviour. And Zacchaeus found that. That's the background to our verse. And I always think it's helpful when you read one verse that you just give the background. Now I would guess, and I'm not going to ask you this evening, but I would guess if I was to say to you, is there one chapter in the Bible that you would turn to if you were going to think about lost things? I think that most of you, or many of you, would say, well, there's that verse in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. And there we read about lost things. And I want to speak to you this evening, for the time that we've got, about the lost things in Luke's Gospel chapter 15. We've read the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you turn to Luke chapter 15, if it was a Sunday school, I would maybe ask some questions, but you'll be glad that it's not. There's three things that are lost in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. Firstly, we read about a sheep that was lost. And secondly, we read about a coin that was lost. And thirdly, we read about a son that was lost. Three things that were lost. All of them quite different. There's a sheep that was lost, and well, I'm not a sheep farmer, and I've seen sheep in the fields, and that's about as far as it goes. But everyone tells me that sheep can be sort of silly animals, and they can just kind of follow one another and get themselves into all sorts of bother just by wandering around. And when I think about that story in Luke chapter 15 that the Lord Jesus told, I kind of think that sheep is an object of. You would kind of almost feel a bit sorry for the sheep, wouldn't you? It just seems that it just had kind of wandered away from the fold and had got further and further away. And then, disaster. So you would think about the sheep, and I would say, well, it was an object of pity. And you would say of that sheep as well, with regard to the sheep, you would maybe say that sheep, well, how had it got lost? Well, it was just careless, really, wasn't it? It just drifted. It just drifted along. So you've got an object of pity, and it was just carelessly lost. Well, when you come to the coin, I suppose you would think of the coin as being an object of value, wouldn't you? A coin is something of value. But you know, well, the coin didn't lose itself, did it? I would wonder if you could say of the coin that it was blindly lost. It didn't know if it was lost or not, really, did it? It was just blindly lost. And then you finally think about the son. There's a lovely story, isn't it? The story of what we call the story of the prodigal son. Well, you would say of a son, wouldn't you? Well, a son is an object of affection. There was the object of pity with the sheep. There was the object of value with the coin. And you would say of the son, he was an object of affection. You remember, don't you, the father, how much love the father had for the son. But you know, it's sad when you think about the son. If you think about the sheep, and the sheep was carelessly lost, and you think about the coin, and the coin was blindly lost, you would have to say of the son, wouldn't you, that he was willfully lost. You see, the son, he decided there came a day when he was going to pack his bags, and he was going to take half of his father's fortune, and he was going to go into the far country. You see, he chose to do it. He was willfully lost, willingly lost. It was what he wanted. And so you have quite contrast between these three objects that were lost. And when you think about the sheep, you'll remember that the sheep was, it was one of 100 sheep. And it had wandered away from the fold, and it had got itself into all sorts of trouble. Do you remember the story is that the shepherd, he would leave the 99 in the fold, and he would go searching, he would go seeking for the sheep that was lost. The Bible doesn't tell us an awful lot. I know a lot of the stories that we tell the children, there's a lot of detail that the sheep had fallen over the cliff or was caught in a thicket or whatever it might be, and all very good stories, but I guess you could say that the sheep, couldn't you? That the sheep could do absolutely nothing for itself. It was completely lost. There was nothing it could do, and it was in real danger. It was in real danger. And it just seems the more it tried to help itself, that the further it got away from the fold, and the more danger it got into, and the more problems, the more it tried to help it itself. Now, I would say there's a good few parallels we can apply this evening to each of us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, it says this: "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, I don't think that sheep set out to get itself into bother, or set out to be lost. I don't think that sheep was set on a course. It just was careless, and it just wandered off, and it was carelessly lost. And you know, there's lots of people in the world who are just like that. They're just careless with regard to their never dying soul. And they're just drifting. And they're just drifting through life with very little thought with regard to their God. We've got this shepherd. The shepherd goes out into the night. And he leaves the 99 in the fold. And he sets out into the night in order just to find this one sheep that was lost. And you know, you'll read through it, and we don't really know, as I've said, you know, we don't know what sort of dangers he had to go through, really, but what we do know is this: that he made his journey, and he sought, and he sought, and he sought, until he found the sheep. And once he found the sheep, the Bible says that he lifted him up onto his shoulders, and he carried him home. You see, there was great effort involved in saving this sheep. There was great effort involved in saving this sheep. Now, I don't know if there's someone in the room and they're like that. They've just drifted through life today. And they've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. They've maybe tried to live a good life. They've maybe attended church. They've maybe helped their neighbours. They've maybe given money to charities, and they just hope that things are going to work out. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You see, the Bible tells us quite clearly that there is an appointed way of salvation. God has decreed, and it is God's desire, that men and women would be saved. The Bible says that God willeth not the death of any man, but that all would be brought to him. That's the desire of God's heart. And in order that that might happen, he sent his son. And he sent his son, just like that shepherd that went out from the fold, the Lord Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven, and he came into this world. And the purpose for his coming, just in case we should be in any doubt at all, remember that the angel would say, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born, it was made absolutely crystal clear that the reason for his coming was to be a Savior. That's why the Lord Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting one. I don't mean to speak glibly at all. But just like that shepherd who endured and who had to go through difficult and painful work to bring that sheep back to the fold, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order just to save one soul, in order to save my soul, in order to save your soul, the Lord Jesus, he had to go to the cross of Calvary and there endure things that are beyond our understanding. The Bible says that at the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin. And what that simply means is this, that as a God in heaven, a holy and a righteous God in heaven, looked down at the Lord Jesus Christ, he accounted him to be sin. And he judged him so that neither I, nor you, nor anyone in the world needs to suffer for their sin. That means that when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed my sin, and when I asked my sins that my sins might be forgiven, a God in heaven could forgive my sin. And he could account me to be righteous, could account me to be right, could separate me from my sins as far as the east is from the west. Not because of anything I did, but because the Lord Jesus Christ had already suffered and bled and died for my sin. And here was a shepherd who went out to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we have this sheep, this object of pity, who was carelessly lost. Let me think about the coin. This object of value that was unaware of being lost. Yeah, we were speaking, I lose track of time, I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, but just recently, the country we live in has changed dramatically. I would guess for the older generation here that when you were growing up, possibly 95 to 100% of the people that you grew up with were familiar with the God of heaven and were familiar with the gospel message. And we're now moving through the generations. And I would say of the children in the room tonight, of their generation, I would say maybe 20 or 30% of their generation are familiar with the God of heaven and with the message of the gospel. You see, things have changed. And we live in a world and people are completely blind to the fact that they are lost. Unaware. And what a tragedy that is. Because you know, the Bible says that each one of us, every single individual in the world, is an object of value. God values every single soul, every single precious soul to God is of value. Each one of us, we bear the image. Because, well, we come from Adam, don't we? And you remember that Adam, he was created in the image of God. Each one of us is precious, and each one of us is valuable, and God would have each one of us to be saved. And we find with Verata the coin, just like with the sheep, there was great diligence required to find it. You know, it's lovely to notice, isn't it? But once the coin was found in Luke 15, there were great celebrations. Once a coin is found, there's great celebration. You know, for an individual, when they're saved, if they're genuinely saved, if they have come to appreciate that they are a sinner, and they're standing in the face of God's judgment, that there was one who suffered and bled and died for them, and their sins are forgiven, and they're made right with God, that will become the greatest day of their life. And it will be a cause for celebration. And if someone in this room this evening was to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Christians, the believers in this room, would be a good cause for celebration for us too. But you know, it would go outside of this door as well. And people would rejoice that souls are saved. But you know, it goes beyond Lever. And it goes beyond Scotland. And it goes beyond Great Britain. And it goes beyond the world, because the Bible says that when a soul comes to faith in Christ, there is rejoicing in heaven. You see, the angels in heaven are watching. And when a soul comes to salvation, because of the preciousness of that soul, there's rejoicing in heaven. What a great thing it would be if some soul realized the inestimable value of their soul. That their soul was so valued to God that he gave his son to die for it. That's how precious we are to God. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God loves us. And God values us so highly. Even although we're sinners, even although we've turned our back on him, he gave his only begotten son. You see, objects of value. But you know, finally, we read about the prodigal son. And that's a sad story, really, isn't it? Or it starts out of us. Do you know, it starts out as a sad story and it ends as a sad story. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But you remember there was one son and he took his inheritance early. He said to his dad, give me. I don't want to have to wait. I want to enjoy life the way I want to live life. And I want it now. That sounds familiar with the world that we live in, doesn't it? And he went down into the far country and he spent and he enjoyed life. And he lived life to the full. And then the money ran out. You remember there he is in the pigsty feeding the pigs. And he was so hungry that he would have eaten the pig's food. The Bible says that there he is in the pigsty. And he comes to himself. And he realizes that he has been a fool. He says he needs to go back to his father. But you know, it's interesting. He doesn't say that he's just going to go back to his father. And I don't know if he kept a key for the door or I don't know if they had keys in those days. But he doesn't just say, look, that's me. I'm going home. I've had enough of this. The money's gone. I'm going back and I'll just go back. Everything will just be the way that it was. I'm going to go back and I'll just go back into my old room and I'll just go back to the old routine and that will be it. I've made a mistake, but hey, life goes on. Not like that at all. He said, I'll go back to my father and I will say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called a son, but just make me as a servant. You see, that was his spirit. He realized that he had sinned. He was willfully lost. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. That's just the way that we all are. We live selfishly, don't we? We do the things that please ourselves. We look after, well, the world has an expression, look after number one. You read through the Bible, you won't find any kind of thing like that at all. But that's the way that we live, isn't it? Each one of us. He was a man, and he'd gone, and he had lived his life. And he had sinned. And he got to the point when he realized he had sinned. He had to do something about it. And he went back to the Father's house. It was lovely to notice, isn't it, that you know, the Father hadn't just struck him out and said, well, he sinned, end of story. I only have one son now. That son, he's gone from me. No, not at all. He was waiting and he was watching. And the son never got the star of the front door. The father ran to meet him and his arms outstretched. And the son started out on his pre-prepared speech and his repentance. The father said, "You bring a new robe, bring new shoes, and a ring for his finger. My son has come home." You see, he was an object of love. And we are too. God loves each one of us. And his desire is that we will be with him in heaven. But you see, before we can get there, we need to realize that we have sinned. We can't just come to God and expect or demand anything. There was a man who came to the temple, and we don't know his name. It just says that he came to the temple to pray one day. The Bible says he prayed, he stood in the middle and he lifted his eyes up and he was proud. And he said, "I thank God that I'm not like other men." Really, he was saying to God that really God was lucky to have him on his side. You know, the Bible says that he went back to his house and he was no different going back to the house as it was when he went up to the temple. But there was another man, and he was a sinner, and he realized it. The Bible says that he stood in a corner, in a dark corner where no one could see him. He bowed his head and he smote his breast. And he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You see, he realized he had a need. Until we realize that we have a need, we will never know God's salvation. You see, the drowning man, he knows he has a need. And when the life ring is cast, he grabs a hold of it with all his might. And he doesn't let it go because he realizes he has a need. You know, we need to cling to God's salvation just in the same way. We need to realize that we stand in need of God's salvation and just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a requirement for repentance. It's not something that we can opt in or out of. God commands all men, everywhere, to repent. Isaiah 55, Isaiah writes and says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have a God in heaven. And he looks down at us. And if we've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a lost state. Whether that be because we've just carelessly gone through our lives and ignored God. Whether that be because, well, we really haven't heard about it and we're blindly lost. It doesn't matter, we still have the same sin. But we still have the same need. Whether it be is that willingly we have turned our back on God, doesn't matter what state we're in, we need God's salvation. This evening, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would pray that you would realize your need and that you would turn to the Savior. Trust Christ before it is too late. Shall we pray? Father, we come into thy presence and we give thee thanks again for the Lord Jesus. We give thee thanks for the knowledge of a God in heaven who loves us, who gave his Son to die for us. We give thee thanks that despite our sin, and despite our often rebellion, we give thee thanks that we are objects of value to a God in heaven, a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who wants to see our souls saved, a God who is desirous that we would have good things. Remember, the Bible says that every good thing cometh from above. And Father, we just pray that each one of us would grasp the opportunity for salvation and trust the Lord Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. We ask now for a parting blessing as we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.